It's tech time. Ian Schur, editor at large at CNET.com, joins us once a month to talk tech and lots of year-end tech stories to talk about. So let's get Ian on. Ian, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I can't stop thinking about Baby Yoda myself.
Yeah, Baby Yoda's everywhere.
Did you know that there's a $300 to $500 version of the toy that's on Etsy?
No, really?
Yes. Yes, there's a 14-month waiting list as well, but and of course it's not called Baby Yoda, it's called Baby Master, because they don't want to get Disney suing them.
Oh, I see.
But it's a very realistic looking one, and it's fully posable. It has glass eyes, and it is hot. A lot of people are buying it.
300 to 500 range.
Yes, yeah, because there's one that's smaller and one that's bigger, of course.
Well, for that kind of money, Baby Yoda better make me breakfast every day. as we approach the end of the year and also the end of the decade, you know, we all look back on the years and the year itself at this time, and for me as a film critic here at WGN, I always go back and I look back at the movies from this year and the movies from the decade and put together stories and lists and stuff like that. And you guys do the same thing for tech. Was it a good tech year? What do you think?
2019 was a rough one, and it's actually funny. I did an entire decade review as well for tech, and looking at all the scandals, it's really funny because you started like 2010. It's like, you know, you've got the Apple scandal where, if you remember AntennaGate, right, people would hold the phone a certain way,
right,
and the phone would die, right? So that was the big tech scandal of the year. And now you get to like 2017, and suddenly it's about disinformation and the downfall of democracy and all these huge things. It's like, wow, 2010 was pretty tame.
Yeah.
So 2019 was even, you know, was actually pretty bad. You know, there was some product stuff like the Galaxy Fold. I don't know if you were following this, but this phone that Samsung came out with that folded in half.
Right.
It was supposed to be this real amazing thing. It cost $2,000. It was supposed to be a big deal. And it turns out that the screen was very easy to break. The reviewers were breaking the screens by accident within a week of its launch. And so Samsung pulled it immediately. They delayed it and delayed it and delayed it. It finally came out in September, but that was a huge debacle.
Yeah. Well, the piece that you wrote to sum up the year, the headline of the piece that you wrote is 2019 is the year tech couldn't stop screwing up. So that pretty much sums it all up right there.
It does. And I mean, everything else on this list is almost all regulatory trouble, right? It's Facebook getting in trouble. It's all sorts of other stuff. There are some cute stuff like Elon Musk accidentally breaking his unbreakable Cybertruck. But, other than that, a lot of it is just government stuff, which is, I mean, it's really interesting how much the government's involvement in the tech industry has become such a story in the last couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the Facebook thing was a huge one. What about the Libra, too?
Right. Libra was huge, right? And you may not have been following closely, but Facebook actually wants to replace all our money.
Yeah.
So what they've done, you may have heard of Bitcoin because it got really popular a couple of years ago.
Right.
So Libra is an attempt to do Bitcoin, but better. And Facebook's argument is that they're going to get all these people involved, like Visa and MasterCard and PayPal and all these people. And they'll tie it to real money so that it won't swing wildly. And they'll make it so that it works really well on the internet so that people in other countries, and I've seen it. I went to Uganda and Tanzania. People in those countries don't have access to banks everywhere. They have to use their phones, and the phone companies actually have bank accounts that they use on their phones. It's really weird. And so he wanted to get rid of all of that and offer an internet version, which is a nice idea, but it's Facebook. And so what, of course, has happened in the last couple of months is everyone's pulling out because they don't want to work with Mark Zuckerberg. It's not a shock at all.
Yeah.
So it's been quite a disaster for them, unfortunately.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the other things in 2019. The Apple FaceTime bug.
Yeah. So that was something that if you blink, you may have missed it. But a couple of months in, we found out that there was this. Actually, it's really funny. This kid who was playing Fortnite the popular video game. And what happens is you can't easily talk with your friends over the video game. So what you do is a lot of people call each other, and then they play while they're calling to get. It's really interesting. So anyway, FaceTime, it turns out that he was accidentally trying to add a couple of friends to a FaceTime video chat, and he accidentally added himself. And he suddenly realized that he was able to get everyone's phone to turn on without them answering. Oh. And it was this huge bug. It potentially had disastrous effects, because imagine, like, if I'm a spy and I want to spy on the president of the United States who has an iPhone, all I have to do is use this trick and suddenly his phone will turn on.
Right.
And it was crazy. So Apple immediately shut down FaceTime. They shut it down for a couple of weeks while they came out with a fix. But it was a real disaster and an embarrassment for Apple, who just a couple of months earlier had put up a big sign talking about how the Apple iPhone is so much more secure and reliable than everyone else. Yeah. And then they had this big disastrous hole. It was so odd.
Yeah, it's just it's crazy. How about the Movie Pass?
Yeah, so that was another one of those really interesting moments on the internet. So MoviePass was this really, you know, for a while it existed. It was like 50 or 60 bucks a month, and you got to watch unlimited movies. And some people involved, some people didn't. I mean, it's a hard sell. But then they decided to go for the gold and try and get as many people signed on as possible. So they said, okay, we're going to charge $10 a month, which is less than the cost of a normal movie, to be able to watch as many movies as you want. And a bunch of people signed up. And the company, I guess, assumed that by doing that, people would do the gym membership thing where a bunch of people are signed on, but they're not using it. Well, it didn't play out that way. A bunch of people signed on and immediately started watching a ton of movies, and it killed the company. Like, eventually, the stock went down to zero. The company had to go to bankruptcy. It was such a disaster for them. And it just goes to show you can't give stuff away for free, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
The idea that I go to one movie and it's already more expensive than the cost of the actual subscription. That should have been a ring to somebody that this was a bad idea.
Yeah, no, I remember talking about it on the air when it happened, just thinking, whose idea was this? I mean, what? all right, what about
what I love is that it was a way for a company to give us all a little money, right?
Right,
that's what
it came
down to.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
We all got a little free money.
Yeah. All right, what about this? That you know, there was a lot of we've been talking about what has happened in 2019 over the year with Facebook. Facebook has had some serious problems over the year, and some of them were letting politicians lie in political ads. That was a big one.
Oh my gosh, and it's still happening. Facebook insists that Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, has gone on record many times saying that he believes a politician, what they say is more important, and you seeing what they have to say is more important than censoring them. And in theory, that's a nice idea, right? And he doesn't want to be the arbiter of truth, which I don't want Mark Zuckerberg to be the arbiter of truth either. I would just rather politicians not lie, but I guess, you know, maybe I should wish for some other magical thing. Mm. So the trouble is that Facebook said, okay, you can run any ad you want, and you can say whatever you want. And, of course, the first thing that started happening was that, you know, this started because Donald Trump, president of the United States, put out an ad that people said had lies in it, and Facebook refused to take it down. So then Elizabeth Warren, who's the candidate for running for president, decided to put out an ad with a bunch of lies on it, too, to make a point about how you can lie about anything. And then a bunch of other people started putting up ads saying that Republican congressmen and senators were in support of the Green New Deal and loved Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and all these like things to make a point about how it shouldn't be allowed. And still we're at this stalemate where Facebook refuses to change. Twitter has said they're not going to allow any more political ads because they don't want to get in the middle of this.
Yeah.
YouTube has basically said they're not going to do it either, although they're allowing some. But it's become this huge debacle because we're dealing with all this disinformation and propaganda. And, of course, people are saying, well, wait a minute. Why are you allowing this to happen?
Yeah.
So I don't know how it's going to play out, but it's quite interesting to watch.
Yeah, it certainly is. Okay. Ian, hang on, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Ian Schur is with us. He joins us monthly. He's editor-at-large at CNET.com. We've got a lot of tech stories to talk about, especially now at the end of the year and at the end of the decade. Lots of really fun stuff that they write about. You should definitely check out CNET for all your tech needs. And if you have any tech questions of any kind, 312-981-7200. Phone number, 312-981-7200. We'll come back to it right after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio here on a Tuesday morning, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now, one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. My guest right now is Ian Schur, joins us once a month, editor-at-large at CNET.com, and lots of tech stories to talk about from the year and the decade. Let's get Ian back on. Hey, Ian.
Hi.
So let's talk about the, you guys have your holiday gift guide, the CNET holiday gift guide. Yeah, let's talk about some of the things that you guys are recommending people get or that you like.
Yeah, I think one of the things we really wanted to do is offer people kind of a couple of ideas that were easy stocking stuffers as well as going for the biggies, right? So one of the things that I think was probably the most interesting stocking stuffer that CNET absolutely loved. It's called the Amazon Echo Dot with clock.
Okay.
Now, the Amazon Echo Dot is the small hockey puck shaped thing that has that woman AI that I won't mention her name, so
right.
I don't set a bunch of them off.
Right.
And so one of the really interesting things about it is that it has the smart speaker in it, and it's got a clock. Mm-hmm. And I know that's silly that it's enough to make us really gaga over it, but it seems like one of those things that really works well. Like a lot of people have one of these things either in their kitchens or in their living rooms or in their bedrooms, and having that clock is super useful. And our reviewers are like, yeah, it's a decent speaker with a clock. Why not?
Yeah.
So we were big fans of it. It's $35. So, you know, it's a pretty good deal during the holidays. It's normally $60. So you can find it for a pretty good deal. Then there's one of the other products that we like as a stocking stuffer. It's called the Roku Streaming Stick Plus. Now, this is also around $50. And what it is that if you have a TV that's a dumb TV, it's not a smart TV, it's a dumb TV, and you've been thinking about, do I need an Apple TV or a Google or whatever, we recommend this one because it is easy to plug in, it's easy to use, it supports all the same apps practically as all the big guys, and it's really easy to use. So we're big fans of it. And the software is now powering a lot of the best TVs that we like. Like one of them's from TCL. It's a Chinese company. They sell a 65-inch TV that we really like that's between about $500 and $800, depending on how you get it. And that is also powered by Roku software. So there's a lot of kind of an ecosystem being built up that we're big fans of. So good stocking stuffer. And if you're thinking about it, I actually ended up buying one of those TVs myself. So where a bunch of us at CNET are fans of that one.
Oh, that's great.
And then one of the other things we really recommend is if you're looking at streaming services, especially people who have kids, you cannot go wrong with Disney Plus. And we've been looking at it really carefully. And one of the things that we're big fans of is that the amount of content there is enormous. You've got Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, National Geographic. You've got just a bunch of stuff in there. You know, the new shows, The Mandalorian, obviously we're talking about Baby Yoda. That has been a very big cultural phenomenon. But there's also just the fact that all of these Disney things are there and that Disney is making this so interesting and offering so much in it. There's a lot of other streaming services, you know, CBS, for example, my employer, they've got their all access thing.
Yeah.
You've got Hulu. You've got all these other people doing stuff, HBO Max. But if you're looking for the best bang for your buck right now, we believe over at CNET that Disney Plus is the answer. So that's an option for you as well.
Yeah, well, the Disney Plus thing is really obviously taken off. I mean, even besides Baby Yoda, you know, my producer Tom subscribes to Disney Plus, and just, I mean, the content, the amount of content, as you mentioned, Ian, is really amazing.
It's enormous, right? And it's funny, like, I thought about trying to beat out Disney's game. And I started this way before Disney Plus, where I would buy the movies on eBay and stuff and try and get them all hoarded up because, you know, they used to have, like, they would go in the vault and you couldn't buy it. So I tried to hoard up as many movies as I could in preparation for having my kids. And it's still, I'm not anywhere close to what Disney Plus offers.
Yeah.
So at some point, I'm probably going to have to dip in and pay. But and then also, one of the other things we're pointing out for people when it comes to kids, if you're looking for a video game device, One of our favorite devices is called the Nintendo Switch. It's actually, there's a smaller version called the Switch Lite. It's under $200. And this thing has become a phenomenon in the video game world. If you're not trying to play like Call of Duty and these super advanced games, but instead looking for the really fun games, and I'm not saying Call of Duty can't be fun, but you know what I mean. This has been a hugely successful product for Nintendo. And it has really shown us that a mobile gaming device can be really fun to play. One of the games on it, the Zelda Breath of the Wild, is one of the top-rated games ever made by Metacritic. And same thing for Super Mario Odyssey. So both of which are on that device. So we're really big fans of that. That's a bigger stocking stuffer, but still a popular one.
Yeah. Nintendo Switch Lite.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And the difference between the Switch and the Switch Lite, if you're interested, is that the Switch has the controllers you can pop out from the screen and play them separately.
Oh, right.
You can plug it into your TV, watch it bigger. The Switch Lite, everything's just self-contained. You can't plug it into a TV, which I know I might sound like a weirdo. I have never plugged my Nintendo Switch into a television. So for me, it's actually totally normal, and I would be totally in the right for market for the Switch Lite if I were buying one.
Okay. All right. We have a text here, Ian. Maybe you can help out here.
Sure.
605 area code says, what are your thoughts on the use of password vaults like LastPass in the coming decade?
Oh, so I am a big fan of these vaults. So I use a competitor to LastPass called 1Password. It's the number 1Password. There's a lot of people inside CNET who use LastPass as well. They are really good. And the reason is because they offer a way for you to have a bunch of different passwords for all the different websites you go to, which is what every nerd will tell you is what you're supposed to do. But they're all hidden behind this 1Password that is very well protected. And so the idea is that you've got random passwords every website. You've got 1Password that you use to get into this app, and it's super easy. I love the technology. The unfortunate reality is that not many people use it. And most people, when I'm on the radio, they had never heard of it. And that's a problem because what you end up with is still a bunch of people who get hacked all the time. You know, I don't know if you heard over the weekend, Ring, the video doorbells, they were getting hacked.
Right.
It turned out they weren't getting hacked. What happened was that the hackers went and found old passwords from Yahoo or Adobe or some other hack that had happened and then tested them on Ring. And it turned out all these people use the same passwords everywhere they go. And bada bing, they got into their Ring accounts. So this is a huge problem. So one of the things we recommend, if you're not going to go through the trouble of learning how to use 1Password and LastPass, which you should, but if you're not, because I realize just part human beings, you don't want to do it, is that there's this other thing called two-factor authentication. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but banks use it a lot, where what they do is when you try to sign in, they send you a text message with a code,
right?
And then you type in that code. And that is really, really good. It gets you much, much safer. It's not perfect, but it gets you much safer. You can turn that on for Google, Facebook, Twitter. You can turn it on for Ring. You can turn it on for all of them. You should go and do that. Two-factor authentication. Do it tonight. You'll thank me in the morning. It's okay. Really worth it.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks for answering that question. We have another call here. It's Carl on WGN. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, hi, guys. Listen, I hope you don't mind. I just got something today they shipped to me, and if I could just get your opinion on the Bose Soundwave System 4.
Bose Soundwave System 4.
Pardon?
So Bose Soundwave System 4. I don't know it off the top of my head. But you know what? The funny part is that CNET, we do a crazy number of reviews, and I have a feeling that we probably have looked at it. If you give me just a hot second,
yeah.
Let's see.
And Carl, you can always check out the stuff that's online at CNET.com. They have reviews of tons of products like the Bose, and you can check it out. Always check out CNET.com, CNET, CNET.com.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, we have looked at a bunch of them. And I'm looking at one of the earlier reviews we did, and we said that it was okay. We really liked that it was easy to set up and that it was simple to use, which is important. But one of the troubles that we had was that it's a little expensive, which at CNET we always complain when we feel like companies charge more than they're worth. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that there weren't as much controls as we wanted over equalization, so controlling the treble or the bass. The newer versions might have that. I honestly don't know. But that was the big complaints that we had about it in the past.
Okay. So those are the and all that stuff is available at CNET. Carl, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we're talking with Ian Schur from CNET.com. You guys chose the top tech products of 2019. What are some of those?
So one of the things that we also that we really pointed out, I think it was actually not just 2019, it was the whole decade. I'm not sure which one you're looking at. But the
it says right here, it's by Jason Heiner, and it's CNET names okay. The 2019's top tech products of the year.
Yes, sorry. Keeping track of everything is sometimes hard.
Oh, I understand. You guys are all over the place on CNET. I understand.
Yeah, so we actually had a list of what we tried to do this year is we really wanted to make it easy for you to find just the top things that we had reviewed because we review a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And one of the things we did is that we said, okay, let's take all of these things, let's make it easy to find. So in the phone world, the top products that we loved, for example, were the Motorola Moto G7, which was a great budget phone under $300 in the U.S., the Samsung Galaxy Note 10, which is a super high-end thing that mixed style and substance. And then in the middle, we really liked the Apple iPhone 11. We said it was the best value for the dollar across the line so far. So that was a really one. And then we got some other ones that we really liked. When it came to home entertainment, I mentioned that TCL TV.
Yeah.
It's called the 6 Series Television. We are huge fans of it. The software is easy to use. The quality is super high. And you'll find that our reviewer, David Katzmeier, he goes into so much detail about the way that the image is produced, and he tests it on the same movie over and over, which I feel sorry for him that he has to watch the same movie over and over again. I hope he found a good one. But the thing is that we even review the quality of the sound coming out of it because not everyone buys a sound bar. So we want to make sure that you've got good sound coming out of it. So those are all things we look at on the TVs. We also obviously reviewed some of the computers. But one of the other things that we started looking at is the smart home stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, whether you should... So our favorite camera for your home, you know, there's Ring, there's Nest, there's all these companies. One of the ones you may not have heard of is called Wyze, W-Y-Z-E. It is the product that we loved in 2019. For less than $30, you get a camera that competes with a $200 camera. And it is really impressive. The company is based in Seattle, so you don't have to worry about whether it's this Chinese company trying to get into your life or something. And they have just really cool stuff. So we're big fans of that one. They also have a light bulb that they sell and a bunch of other stuff too. So worth taking a look at them. And then obviously I mentioned the streaming services. Disney Plus is a big deal. And then finally, one of the other things that you might want to consider is if you want to replace your TV altogether, we are big fans of YouTube TV and Sling TV, and we have a whole thing on why, but those are two to look at as well.
Okay. All right. Ian, hang on, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Ian Schur is with us from CNET.com. He's an editor-at-large there, and we're going to talk about some of the other important apps of the decade. We're going to look back at the decade and talk about some of the big apps from that decade. All right. We'll take a quick break here on 720 WGN. Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio. Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday coming up. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Matthew Hoffman is going to join us after midnight. He is a part of the Pickwick Classic Film Series, and they are showing a classic on Wednesday night at the beautiful Pickwick Theater, Holiday Inn. And there's some other fun stuff that's happening that evening. There's two shows. There's going to be one at 1 o'clock, a matinee, and then at 7:30. We'll tell you all about that with our friend Matthew Hoffman. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN. Ian Schur is with us, editor-at-large at CNET.com, talking about all the tech from big tech stories from 2019. And let's get Ian back in here. Ian, welcome back.
Hi.
All right. So you guys talked about some of the most important apps of the decade, and you went through all of them. Tell us a little bit about this. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, there's the obvious ones like Instagram, which really changed a lot of culture. And actually, what I think is really fascinating is it's changed the way that the entertainment industry works. Almost every celebrity is on Instagram.
Yeah.
They're actually using Instagram more than Twitter sometimes. Even, you know, it's really fascinating, like the a lot of the underrepresented groups. Like, we have a great story on CNET about the Muslim fashion world and how that has become such a thing through Instagram. It's really fascinating. So Instagram, of course, has been a huge, huge conversation around the last decade. Yeah. Same thing with Twitter. I don't think I have to explain to anyone why anymore. I mean, it's upended politics. It's upended the way that pretty much anything works anymore. It changed my job. So it's been quite a thing. Now, whether you like it or not, that's another debate, right? Same thing with Facebook.
Yeah.
But I think some of the ones that stood out that maybe people didn't think about, one of them is actually Angry Birds. You know, a lot of us may not have thought about it for a long time, but it launched in 2009. So, you know, decade, we're being a little fudgy here. But one of the things that's really important is that game really showed us how viral a video game can be on phones. We hadn't seen that really before. And it built a company so large that to this day, they've had two movies, they've come out with a bunch of different games, and they are growing still day after day, year after year. And that is impressive.
Yeah.
Same thing with Candy Crush, another game that just became such a viral hit. I'm really fascinated by that. And then Vine. Some of us may have missed this one. It was a company that started on this idea of short-form videos. This may sound familiar, and I'll explain why in a second. So Vine started with this idea of having really short videos that you could then repeat on loop, and people started doing all sorts of really creative stuff. It became very popular with teenagers, and it actually created people that we now watch on YouTube. If you know people like the Jake Paul and the Logan Paul, and David Dobrik and a bunch of others, they started on Vine. So it's really interesting. It was 6-second long videos. Now we have TikTok, which is the new viral sensation. And shock, it uses a lot of the same ideas that Vine had.
Yeah.
And it is becoming a huge thing. The difference between Vine and TikTok, though, TikTok is based in China and Vine was based in the United States. So there's a lot of drama over how TikTok is run and politics and all of that. I could get into that forever. But the point is, it's really fascinating how people love playing with different types of video and how popular it's been, even after so many years. It kind of is crazy that Twitter shut it Vine down and gave up on it because, oh my gosh, how successful it was. And then one of my favorite other things to point out is a game called Flappy Bird. This was probably one of the most difficult games ever. You can't actually download it anymore, which is really sad. There's a lot of knockoffs out there, but it was so popular in 2014. It was the top of the App Store list for a long time. And the guy who created it, who's based in Vietnam, felt so bad because people had become so addicted to it that he removed the game from the App Store. And and it became such a thing that people were trying to sell phones on eBay for $100,000 that had the game still on
it. Whoa, what?
Yes. I don't know if they were ever successful selling it, but that was how popular this game was for a while. And you still can't download it. So, you know, maybe someone really wants to play that game.
Wow.
Yeah, right? And then, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize how much video chat has become such a thing. You know, when Apple came out with FaceTime back in 2010 and Skype really started doing video on phones in 2009, a lot of people kind of poo-pooed it. I myself had looked at a lot of data that said that there's probably 5 people in your life you want to video chat with. Well, it turns out that once people got the technology right, people do it all the time now. And Zoom is one of the ones who does it really successful in the business world. And they have been able to take off and build a real business around it, even though Cisco and a bunch of other people have been trying to do it beforehand. So it's really fascinating how popular video chat became.
Yeah. Well, what about, you know, another phenomenon, Pokemon Go?
Oh, my gosh,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that came out in 2016, and it just went bananas. And you know, what I think is really important about that game, first off, it's a universal idea, right? You've got these little monsters that you're walking around, and if no one ever played it, go outside and play it. It's still around. What you do is you hold your phone up, and you walk down the street, and as you're walking, you'll finally see a monster you have to catch. And what you do is you throw the ball at the monster, and it's super fun. And it overlays the monster on the real world, so it looks like that monster is sitting on the mailbox right in front of you. And it's a really addictive game.
Oh, it became so addictive. I remember people falling down in almost getting hit by cars. One guy was One guy got pulled over by the cops for actually playing it while he was driving. I mean, I remember in my neighborhood, there were kids walking around. There were people walking, not just kids, but adults walking around everywhere with their phones. And I mean, for a good 2 month period straight, nothing but Pokemon Go.
And that's what I remember. It was really taking off when I got off the bus one day in my neighborhood and saw a kid and their parent walking around like that. I was like, okay, this is a real thing. And, you know, I think what was really interesting is it showed us the power of what a phone game can do, different from what a video game on the Xbox can do. And it was this introduction to this new idea of technology that, that overlays on the real world, right? Mixing computers and real world imagery. And people loved it. And to this day, by the way, it is a hugely popular game, even though a lot, they wrote, ironed out a lot of bugs. Like, there are no more monsters that are in minefields. I'm not kidding. They were encouraging people to go to minefields at one point. There were also ones that you could catch at the Holocaust Museum. Not cool. But they've ironed out a lot of those bugs.
Yeah. So we have a text here from someone. Maybe you can help them out. 630 area code says, what is the coolest gift for a 10-year-old boy? Is there a little, is there like an electronic gizmo gift that you think are great for 10-year-old boys?
Yeah, so there's actually a couple. So first off is that Nintendo Switch Lite. If you're if you're the parent, or if you know the parent and you want to talk to them and you have to add your dollars to blow, that's not a bad call. But if you're looking for something a little cheaper, we actually are really big fans of something called Lego Technic, T-E-C-H-N-I-C. It's under $20 generally. It's these kind of these trucks that you can build in the Lego world. They've got a motor and a pop-out engine block that'll pop out when it crashes. And there are actually four in this series. And if you buy them all, you can kind of combine them in fun ways. And they're just really good for kids 7 and older.
Yeah.
And unlike most Lego sets, they're very affordable, which is good as well.
Right. That sounds great. Thank you for that. All right, Ian, always great to have you on. You can check out Ian's stuff at CNET.com. Follow him on Twitter at Ian Scherr. That's S-H-E-R-R. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Ian. Great job, as always, covering the tech world. And check out, everybody should check out CNET.com. Ian, have a great holiday.
You as well. Take care.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Take care. Ian Scherr joins us once a month to talk tech. Always fun. Always informative. And all of the stuff that we're talking about and much more is available at CNET.com, and you should check it out.